But good songs, and actually all the songs, at least the ones I heard. I came a little late. I'm sure some people were sweating, like, oh boy, the preacher ain't here yet, or the speaker, I should say. But they're going to hit on almost everything. The Fill My Cup, Lord, The Woman at the Well, and The Fountain. But, well, the text I was going to look at tonight is in John 4. We're going to read 5 through 26. But while you're looking that up in your Bibles, you already got kind of down low on the conference. Thank you, Mr. Lehman. 132, I thought it was 131, so even I'm behind. But there are still specific needs out there. I think that's a word I just invented. But anyway, we have a need for someone to make mashed potatoes for Sunday noon meal. We got about 30 pounds unaccounted for. So if you could help in that manner, that would be appreciated. And then tonight, we're probably going to set up some tables downstairs so we can get ahead of the game a little bit. And tomorrow, depending on, now as we all know, teenagers are notorious for showing up when they're not supposed to and not showing up when they're supposed to. So we're hesitant about, I'm hesitant about putting this out there, but I think it's good for someone to think of. They feel led to do it. Drivers. We have plenty of people with room in their homes, but they don't have the vehicles to get the kids there and back. Now, it's a big commitment. It'd be Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. But feel led, please talk to me later. We got two presentations, one from camp on Saturday and another from Emmaus Bible College. A gentleman's coming out from Iowa specifically to come here to do a presentation. So that's pretty cool. That's going to happen on Saturday. But most importantly is just continue to pray for the workers. Money is obviously always there, but accommodations and all this, a lot of pieces to the puzzle need to come together. If we're doing the Lord's will, it'll happen. But just something to pray about, please. Safety for the kids. As they're coming, some are coming from Ontario, down to Ohio, Pennsylvania, all over the place. We had to get another bus. We did get a third bus, so that's pretty interesting. They're not cheap. So that's the needs we have. The speaker, pray for the speaker. As Mr. Lehman said, he left, I think it was Monday night, or was it Sunday night, flew home. It was Monday night, Matt. He left Monday night, flew home. He's flying tomorrow. I'm picking him up at the airport at 3, and he's doing a conference. So that's a busy schedule. And he's a doctor as his livelihood, so I'm sure that's not exactly a laid-back profession. So pray for him. Pray for him for strength, discretion, and what he's going to preach about, and wisdom, and a heart open to what the Lord wants him to talk about. Also for the kids, I've always said, and this is my second year doing it, I don't care if 10 or 1,000 kids show up, what's their hearts like? And pray for that. You could have a bunch of kids come here, and that's great, and have a fun time, that's great. That's what you call an event. And other people do plenty of events that these kids can go to. We want hearts and minds to change for Christ. That's why we're doing this. So pray for that. And obviously those that are heading up the various portions of the conference, such as the head cook, Mr. Michener, I would not want your job. That's a huge undertaking. The head server and Jennifer and the song leaders and musicians, we got young men stepping up, and that's a great thing. So pray for them. Pray for their nerves and pray for the ability. So all that being said, let's read the word. We're in John 4, 5 through 26. Make sure I'm there. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 6. Let's start verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank it from himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have to study your word. I pray that you grant a wisdom and my thoughts I'm going to give out. And I pray that if it's anything that you won't want heard, that it would not be heard and understood. And it would just go away and be forgotten. And bless the reading of your word. And thank you for this night. In your name. Amen. All right. So I had a couple little simple thoughts. And hopefully you can benefit from them. If we start back in verse 6, I kind of broke it down into the verses. I'm not going to read them again because time will be crunched. But if you're there in the Bible, it says that Jesus was tired. He was tired. I can relate. Can you? Now, we all have busy lives. We have people that we have to answer to, that we work for, that we go to school. And it's a lot of pressure sometimes and a lot's going on. And we get tired. You know, I'm so pleased that Jesus was tired. And you know why I'm pleased? I'm not pleased that he's tired. I'm pleased the fact that the humanity in him showed through that he was tired. Jesus Christ, who came on this earth, who was God's Son, was tired. So we can relate to that, right? And later in the chapter 4 right there, at the verse 26, it says, I who speak to you am he. He's saying he's the Messiah. He's saying, I am divinity. So you have the humanity in the beginning of what we just read, and the divinity of Jesus at the end. It's all-encompassing. I've noticed that the more I've gotten involved, and the more I try to do for God, for His will and honor, the more you can understand or get tempted to do stuff. The more you try to live for the Lord and through His Spirit, it's the more you seem to get tempted to do stuff you know you shouldn't do. And that's the humanity I'm talking about. Jesus was tempted. He's tempted. Everything I'm tempted with, he's already been tempted with. Times 10 probably. That's the humanity of it. I love him for that. You know, if this book wasn't real, you think that he would, as a leader of a religion, portray himself as being tired ever? That's why I love that verse. Jesus was tired, or that part of that verse. Verses 7 through 10, Jesus was unaffected by day's cultural influences. You know, you think back through the parables, he touched lepers, he talked to Romans, tax collector. He had a tax collector, the most hated of all the Jews, as one of his disciples, Matthew. And he talked to a Samaritan woman. Now, if I understand history correctly, Jewish men in his day did not talk to women, period. Not only did he talk to a woman, but a Samaritan woman. Which Jews didn't talk to Samaritans at all. Unless they had to, I'm sure. But he did. Do we follow his example? I fail miserably at that, I can tell you that. As humans, we want to rub elbows with the most important, the most influential, the people that matter. Not the people that seemingly don't matter. So do we follow his example? You know, and I'm thankful he is that example, because if Andy Palmer, and the true Andy Palmer, and the weak Andy Palmer was known to everyone, probably I wouldn't have many people hanging out next to me. But he can use me through his to do his will, because he sees something in me, and he sees something in you. Everyone in this room, everyone on this earth, but you got to accept that. You got to make him Lord of your life. You need to realize you're a sinner, and you died on the cross for your sins, just as I realized that a long time ago. And thankful for that. But he was unaffected by cultural influences. Are we? Verses 11 to 13. Let's look at that so we don't get confused here. 11 to 13. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst." And I think I misdid that. Book 11 to 14, so excuse me. That's what I wanted to look at. Do we acknowledge who Jesus is? And do we really believe that? Do we acknowledge that he is the living water? Do you think Jesus was a good guy, a prophet, a good teacher, a religious leader? Or do you believe he's the Savior of the world? I got a good quote here from C.S. Lewis from his book, Mere Christianity. "I am trying to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him," that's Jesus. "I am ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend so." So what do you believe about Jesus? Is he the fountain for you? All right, so my notes got a little discombobulated here. I think that's an invented word, Tim. But 13 through 15, I have, is do we believe Jesus is who he says he is, and do we accept him, okay? Do we accept him as a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life? Do we accept him as our Redeemer? I pray that anyone in here tonight that hasn't done that will. There's a lot of things out there that seem to be refreshing. And sin for a time can be refreshing. But you'll thirst again. And again. And again. And again. But if you drink of the Lord Jesus Christ, life doesn't get easy. But you know where your hope is. You know where your faith is going to be. Where you're going when you die. What you're saved from. You have that. If you drink from the fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Verses 16 to 19. Are our hearts laid open to our Lord, or are we being less than truthful? All right, I get that. Is this woman was truthful to a sense? She was not really telling the truth, right? Because, yeah, she didn't have a husband. She was living with a man. But she didn't lie. But didn't she? Jesus knew what he was doing here, and I can't really wrap my mind around that sometimes, is that he said, you have well said. You have no husband. He was acknowledging that, yeah, you're right. But she had five. Well, I guess what I'm trying to get at that is sometimes we can justify anything in our head. You know? And are we being completely truthful with the Lord on everything? And I say that just as much about myself as anyone else in here. But that's one thing I took from those verses. You know, here's this woman in a dialogue with Jesus, and she's being truthful, but not. Am I in a dialogue with Jesus trying to be truthful, but I'm not? That's something I thought of, and more for myself probably than anybody. But let's think about that. Our hearts laid open. Are we cut to the heart? Okay, verses 20 to 24. This would be part of our theme for the conference. And I'll just read it. And it's 20 to 24. Our fathers, oh, I'm sorry, 21 to 24. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. If our hearts are right with the Lord, our lives are going to be right. Not perfect, but right. We'll be right with the Lord. And that's, I think, our worship is acceptable. You know, there's a lot of people that pretend to be perfect. And they seem to be worshiping, but are they really? If their hearts aren't in it, what does it matter? Right? Is our worship acceptable to the Lord? Are we worshiping in spirit and truth? The last verses here, 25 to 26, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. The simplicity of my thoughts here, I apologize. But at the end of the day, what I take from this chapter is that he is who he says he was. And he's willing to reveal himself to even a Samaritan woman. At that day, almost one of the lowest of the lowest. And he's revealed himself to me. Has he revealed himself to you? And as we go into this season of the conference, and I I pray that you continue praying for the hearts and minds of these young adults, that you would take into consideration as he revealed himself to you. Because until you get you settled in, our worship through our service or through our song or through anything, is it acceptable? And I say that myself as much as anything. So I'm just going to close my little thought in prayer, and then we'll go into our season of prayer. Heavenly Father, please bless this little thought I had. I pray for any mistakes or bundles. Just thank you for your love. The fact that you revealed yourself to us, those of us that have accepted you as Savior. And we pray that we would live for you, that we would have our hearts and minds worship you in spirit and truth. And thank you for this evening, and bless the time after. In your name, amen.